Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the third straight year.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful, and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
Congratulations, Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 After, Mr. Wonderful. At your service. My website is www.jbsba.com. That's the acronym for Jim Blasingame, Small Business Advocate. If you like that one, you don't like to type, you can type that one in. If you remember my name, that's put a .com on the end of my name. That works. Or the long one, if you like to type, smallbusinessadvocate.com. That's the old one. That's been around since 97. Either one of those will get you to the same place. It's a little bit of small business heaven, folks, on my site where you can check out thousands of archives, read thousands of articles, and find out about the probably about 500 Brain Trust members. That Brain Trust that we've developed over the last 7.5 years is the largest community of small business experts in the world, maybe in the universe. And one of the people that was one of the original members of that Brain Trust is our good friend Tim Berry, the president and the founder of Palo Alto Software. He's the author of Hurdle, the book on business planning. And ladies and gentlemen, he is the world's business planning expert. Tim, welcome back to the show.
Oh, thank you, Jim. I'm so happy to be with you again.
I can tell you're pretty excited, aren't you?
Yes, it's like
a dream come true, isn't it, Tim?
Yes, I am, Jim. Good to be back.
Hey, Tim, I wanted you to talk to us a little bit about some of the things you've been doing with the course you teach at the University of Oregon, in Eugene, Oregon. You teach a Start Your Business course. I know you get a lot of questions from your students there, and I thought maybe it'd be a good idea to share some of those questions and let you answer some of them for us.
And you and I maybe can help answer some of them because they are the standard questions. The class I teach at University of Oregon is not for business majors, Jim. So we have a different collection of people. It is for people who want to start their own business. That's what they have in common.
And as you know, Tim, most people who start a business are not business majors.
Interestingly enough. Mm. So this class was actually endowed 7-8 years ago, about the time you started, by somebody who said, we need to teach entrepreneurship to people who aren't business majors. The idea being that maybe that's more important, or maybe it's at least important that somebody get something that's available aside from the business school. It's taught by the business school, but the kids in this class are psychology, PR, computer science, anthropology, political science, and what they have in common is, like all of your listeners, or a lot of your listeners, and a lot of my customers, they're looking at how do I turn this dream into something that actually works and I can go to every day and build a business.
Well, they've stuck their toe into the entrepreneurial soil of our marketplace, and they liked what they felt. And they wanted to get something out of that. People are no longer thinking about being adopted by a big company anymore. They're thinking about what can I have for myself. And, you know, this is the kind of course that lawyers ought to be taking. This is the kind of course that doctors ought to be taking, dentists. And, you know, I have a friend who teaches salesmanship to people who have, you know, non-sales backgrounds. They're architects or dentists or whatever. You know, they're learning how to sell. And so, you know, you're doing the same thing for people who typically aren't coming from a business background. And you're doing a lot of good there because you're helping these people to realize that it's not enough just to know what they know about what they do. You got to, in a parallel universe, you got to operate that business, don't you?
And a lot of this comes fairly easily with common sense. But if you get a chance to accelerate the learning rather than learning it on the street, it's a good idea, and certainly that's what we're doing. We're going to, in 10 weeks, we're going to help them answer these questions of, okay, what's the problem? How do I solve it? Who wants it? How do I make money with doing this? How much money do I make? What does it take to start up? Startup costs are particularly mysterious at the beginning of such a course. And what are the next steps? What do I do if I really want to get into it? And it seems like so much in business and probably so many other themes is a matter of breaking things down into their components so you can look at them one by one rather than trying to just imagine the whole thing.
What's an example of a good question that you've gotten recently?
Certainly the question that comes up most is, what am I going to do? How am I going to determine what my business is really? I want to do, I think it's this, maybe it's that, and there's some real anxiety over what makes what I want to do a business. The sort of what will I do thing comes up over and over again.
They've got all this these squishy ideas about what they think they want to do, but they know, I guess intuitively, they have enough instinct to know that it's got to have a little bit more of a focus than they have. You know, that's one of the main questions I get by email in any given week is, I want to be a small business owner. What should I go into? We're going to get Tim to help us with that right after these messages. 20 till. We'll be right back with our good friend, Tim Berry, the president and the founder of Palo Alto Software.
And I'll be at your side forevermore.
Cherry and the Pacemakers, ladies and gentlemen.
Don't let the sun catch you crying.
Great old song.
The night's classic. The time.
I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'm glad you're here. I want to remind you, next week, I will be in Washington, D.C. all week long, broadcasting live from the SBA Small Business Week festivities. We're going to be whooping it up with the SBA there and looking forward to that, and going to be doing a lot of different things. I'll be attending the National Advisory Council meetings on Monday and Tuesday. I'm a member of the National Advisory Council of the SBA, and I'll be working with them the rest of the week for the matchmaking event also. And as you know, I'm going to be emceeing the Hall of Fame dinner on Wednesday night. That's really exciting. And then, of course, all the big festivities wrapping things up on Thursday. And then we'll be there Friday. We're planning on interviewing, as we've done for, this is the eighth year in a row that we've interviewed the winners of the small business winners, the top four small business winners in the country. We'll do that on Friday. I'm looking forward to that. So next week it'll be a little different because I'll be on the road. If it sounds different, it's because it will be different because I'll be live on the road. Tim Berry is our guest, and Tim, you got some folks coming to Washington for the big event, don't you?
Yes, we are going to have a booth in the SBA show on Thursday.
So, folks, if you're listening and you're going to be at the expo in Washington, be sure to go by and check out the Palo Alto Software booth, which is also they're the folks who produce Business Plan Pro 2005. Tim, we're talking about what when people ask you, you know, what should my business look like? That's a really hard question, isn't it?
Well, you know, you mentioned mushy for that, and
I think squishy was the word I used, Tim.
Well, squishy then. I've found there's a way that I use with these students to turn that into something real that then they begin to have a framework that they can build their idea around, and that is always customers.
Mm-hmm.
We start thinking about how your business really is seeking customers and serving customers, and then you start to flesh it out. That, for example, goes very quickly into, okay, location. Okay, if I'm going to be a restaurant, how am I going to give something that customers want that isn't something that everybody else has? And they start thinking about, healthy snack foods on campus, or they're talking about gourmet this, or there's no restaurants here, or nobody serves decent food after midnight, or it's the customers that seem to pull the thing all together first, and they start looking at that.
But isn't that a little bit of a dangerous way to start a business, to rely on the customers to tell you?
No, it's not that you're asking the customers; it's that you're going from vague and undefined to defined by putting things so that they will work for customers.
Mm-hmm.
Talking to people who aren't customers yet because you aren't a business yet, and you're using, in most cases, your own knowledge of a situation. You're interested in the area that you're studying, but how do you put stakes in the ground? You say, this is what will generate customers. This is what will make a service that somebody wants to buy. This is what will be a product that somebody wants to buy. And you end up wrapping this new business around the fact that what you really need to get a business going is customers.
Well, I do agree with you about that. That's one of the most important things that I think some people get sidetracked on. They get so focused on this exciting thing that they wanted to sell and or to make, and they get the idea that because they think it's a wonderful idea, that everybody will think it's a wonderful idea, don't they?
Yes.
And they don't realize.
Say, okay, who's going to buy this? And why are they going to pull their wallet out of their pocket and pull some green or a plastic card out of their pocket and give you money? And that can become the founding idea of a decent business.
One of the first questions that I tell people is basically what you said, but here's how I say it. Whenever somebody says, you know, they want to go into business, I ask them, who's going to pay for this?
Yeah.
If you just ask it that simply, if you'll take that, and that might not even be a bad thing to write down, Tim, if you're starting a business, or even if you have a business and you're starting to head in another direction, you know, maybe a new brand or a new line or a new direction for the company, maybe you should write down, who's going to pay for this, and put it up on the wall. What do you think?
Who's going to pay for this leads to the question of, what do they want exactly? Where are they? How do I find them? What message do I tell them? What are they looking for? What's their pain point?
And how do I deliver that in a way that is distinctive? Because what it is that they want, as we talked about with the branding session in the previous half hour, Tim, you know, what we sell people is not what's unique. Most things are commodities these days. It's how we deliver it that makes it unique, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, so that's one general area. Another one that you might find interesting that seems to come up more than others is the exercise of determining how much it costs me to start up a business. Seems to be one that sheds a lot of light on things, and it's basically an exercise of thinking through, before I open the doors, what do I have to spend before I start?
Mm-hmm.
And what do I own before I start? Which ends up being a list of, yeah, that's right, I need the lawyer, I need the stationery, I need
right.
the signs out the door, I need
right.
the tables and chairs.
The deposit for the rent and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and okay, well, I'm going to rent it 3 months early, so then I need the fixing up expenses, and oh, by the way, this and that, and then there's inventory. And I find that a lot of the learning in this class for these students on how to start a business is simply counting things.
Well,
so
and
they have
the
an
thing
idea
that
they
I see,
thought.
The thing that I see, Tim, whenever people have brought me those things, and when they were starting a business, is it was too vertical and it wasn't horizontal enough, and that gets into cash flow, and that's one of the areas that you're an expert in. And when we come back, I'm going to get you to explain that to us. The difference between a vertical budget and a horizontal cash flow statement, folks, it could be the difference between success and failure. 20, no, actually, 10 till. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Tim Berry is our guest, and he's the president of Palo Alto Software. Tim, the new version is Business Plan Pro 2005, right?
Yes.
And tell us how we can find out more about it, especially
Business Plan Pro 2005. The best place to look for it is at paloalto.com.
And also, you've got an outstanding educational program, a website, I should say, where people can go, and you've made it available to them for free so that they can learn more about how to prepare a business plan.
Yes, bplans.com has 60 complete sample business plans there and a lot of other things. There's more than 4,000 questions and answers. There are tools for evaluating cash flow and starting costs that are just free, click them and use them and print them, tools. It's a very good resource, bplans.com.
It really is, folks, so
and
I hope you'll check that out.
It's all free there, too. So.
Tim, we're talking about helping people get their business going and some of the experiences that you've had in this course that you've been teaching at the University of Oregon. And when we took the break, I was talking about how people will tend to bring, when they start out, they'll bring in, You know, they'd be so proud of themselves. Tim, I don't know how many times in the years past when I was a consultant, they'd bring me a business, you know, something they worked on, their form of a business plan. And it would have a vertical column of numbers, which was basically a budget. And I'd say, do you have any numbers? And they'd whip it out and they'd be so proud of themselves because, yes, they had what I asked for. And I said, well, this is fine if you only plan on being open one day or 1 month.
Yeah,
and they say, what do you mean? They think I was being rude. And they say, what do you mean? I say, well, you know, this isn't how your business is going to work. You know, yeah, it's a good thing that you've identified all these expenses. We got to find out if you've got all of them here. But mainly, you know, money coming in and money going out isn't vertical. It's horizontal, isn't it?
Meaning that it's in different time periods. And the money that you say is sales this month in April might actually get into your bank account in July, for example.
Right.
And the money you say is expenses for July, you might have to pay in April or in September. That's what you mean by spreading it out.
That's right.
That's critical.
For example, you know, you might have in your column there, if you use a source and use type of thing, you at the top you've got your investment, you've got a bank loan, and you've got sales, and then you got your expenses at the bottom, what's left over. But the truth is you may be open 3 months before you get the bank loan, if you even can get a bank loan or whatever. You've got to know how long your money's going to last. That's the reason they say cash is king, don't they, Tim?
And the way it's not that hard to do. Certainly cash flow is something that every business plan does, and when we're starting a business, you have to do it. But it's not that hard to do, but it does take what you're talking about of spreading it into the actual time frame. When I sell isn't necessarily when I collect the money. And it doesn't take higher mathematics or engineering or doctoral thesis to spread that out into when it's really going to happen. You just lay it into rows and columns, and you put your months up at the top and your items on the left, and then you start putting when it comes in and when it comes out. Interesting statistic, they did a study in the SBA a few years ago, and some 43% of the companies that went under were profitable when they went under.
Yeah, they grew themselves right out of business, didn't they? They succeeded. They succeeded themselves right out of business.
Well, and profits are something that your accountants can show you, and we need to have the profits, but they're basically an accounting concept. And money in the bank is a real concept.
Yeah, you really can't spend profits, folks.
Yeah.
I know you think you can, but you really can't. Tim, let's get one more question. We got about about a minute and a half. What's another question that somebody might ask you that we can answer quickly?
Pricing drives my students crazy. They're always assuming that every new business must have a lower price than existing businesses.
Big mistake for small businesses.
Huge fallacy, and we spend a lot of time talking about how the world at large takes pricing to indicate quality and that people want a wide range of different positions of price and quality and things like that. But pricing seems very mysterious to new people coming to business, and the assumption that only the low price wins, of course, is very dangerous.
Well, Tim, I tell my audience that the price war is over and we lost. So if price war is over and small business lost, don't fight that war. It's over. Tim, give us your website one more time, please.
www.paloalto.com.
Thank you, Tim, for being here. Thanks for all the great years of service. We're looking forward to many more, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you, Tim.
Tim Berry, ladies and gentlemen, we won't do without him. He's the best. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, and remember, when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you had a bad day. Greet it with a smile. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.